Let's hear from a caller. Yeah. Let's go to Alexis in San Francisco. Hi, Alexis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the great work you're doing and talking about right now. I've been an environmentalist for around 30 years, and I was talking about the Amazon forest when people didn't even talk about global warming, and people thought I was crazy worrying about it back then. And in that time, I'm a member of like 20 different environmental groups and social justice groups, and in that time, there's definitely more, obviously more awareness on the one hand, but I feel like the planet is essentially divided into two people when it comes to this issue, which is people who care and people who don't care. I don't believe that people don't think this isn't happening. I think they just say they think it isn't happening or that it isn't man-made because they don't want to deal with reality. So they just say that because it sounds better than saying, I don't want to deal with reality. So my kind of question to you is, and you were talking about the companies currently all profiting off of, under this guise of community and improving our lives, social benefits through, you know, all these big companies now, but they're using tremendous amounts of resources, mining for all kinds of things all over the world at rapacious speeds and quantities. And I'm just, as someone who's been in this a long time, I'm just curious what you think about this kind of divide between people. And, you know, like I said, as an activist, it's just, I don't stop what I'm doing, but I get very, it's just very saddening to me how much resistance, you know, like you're talking about these, all these people, the increase in assassinations and people who are doing incredible work in their lives. It's just, there's just so much out there. And I feel like, I guess my question is, do you think that in all the environmental groups that are out there, everybody's working on different causes, do you feel like it's time for a kind of a more unified approach to really getting more heads strong together collectively?
Well, I've always had this idea harbored in my mind that the mayors of Oakland, San Francisco, and Berkeley should get together and limit the number of days we're allowed to drive our cars down to 5 days a week. Now, I know that just creates a horror show for a lot of people in their minds, but they have limited the days that people are allowed to drive in many cities, and it made it a tremendous response to the pollution that was happening in those cities. And I feel like if the Bay Area would take a radical stance on climate change, it would ripple out to the rest of the country. And I feel like we need big action and big sacrifices and big responses. And, you know, the Green New Deal starts with that, and we should encourage and be, demand. I think it's time to start demanding that we respond, not like cajole people into responding or hoping people wake up or hoping people see that Trump's, you know, on the wrong path and all of that. I think that in a way, there needs to be a way that we take no prisoners on how we need to grapple with this issue.
Well, thank you for calling. And actually, I will ask our next guest that question. Hannah Estrada is with the youth-led climate justice group Youth Versus Apocalypse. She is also currently planning the Youth Climate Strike. She is 15 and she is a sophomore in the Bay Area. On March 15th, young people on six continents will be striking to demand lawmakers take action on climate change. Hi, Hannah. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Hannah, were you able to hear Alexis and her question?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so how would you respond to that?
Can you just restate the question?
Yeah, so she was just talking about, you know, we're at this critical moment. We have this IPCC report saying that we have to drastically change things in 12 years. She was talking about, you know, changing people's minds on environmental issues. And do you think that the big environmental group should really come together as one to, you know, encourage people to really make major change, not just incremental change?
I think we're having a problem in politics where we're all divided because we don't see climate change as an issue that's going to affect all of us. We see it as well, some people believe in it and some people don't, and I feel like that does divide us in this weird way. And I think we should probably definitely come together and figure out how can we actively fight climate change within our communities and within our cities. But I think also a problem with you know, trying to find a radical way to combat in a way that will be effective enough for us to have a future is that at the same time, while making these radical changes, we also have to meet the needs of our people, and not just a specific set of people, but all of the people in this country. And that's a really difficult thing to do because of the different situations, I think, in different communities and racial situations in our country, where a lot of different communities are more disenfranchised than others. And so we have to meet their need while also trying to make radical changes at the same time.
And Hannah, you are 16, and I'm sorry, you're 15. You're a sophomore in the Bay Area. How did you become so involved in this issue?
Well, I began in a program called ACT at Girls Inc. in Oakland, and we focused a lot on the community of East and West Oakland because they didn't have clean air or they didn't have access to fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And that's where I met the coordinator of the group I'm a part of, Youth vs. Apocalypse. Her name's Carolyn. And later on, she reached out to me and said, hey, we're doing this fellowship, and kind of gave me an idea of what the fellowship would be about. And at the time, I wasn't really doing anything that I was super, super passionate about or I was super looking forward to. I was just kind of taking on more academic extracurriculars that would improve my grades or would help me with, you know, school and stuff. I wasn't doing anything for people. And so I was like, yeah, okay, this sounds good. And then it's weird because before I was involved in Youth vs. Apocalypse, I thought I knew most of the stuff about the environment, but I didn't really have a good idea of what climate change would do to our country or would do to our planet. And so even just being in this group the first few weeks, I got educated a lot about disenfranchised communities and how climate change would affect, you know, our country and different countries in this world.
And tell us more about Youth versus Apocalypse. What do you all do exactly?
So Youth versus Apocalypse is technically, we're an activism fellowship and we focus on the environment. We have three different campaigns that we work on. One of them is BACMID. It's the Bay Area Air Quality Board District, and it has to do with like oil and a Chevron gas station, I think, in Richmond. I'm not really super educated on that one because that's not the one I'm working on. And then we have another campaign called Youth versus Coal, and it's basically a group of youth, and we're fighting a developer named Phil Tagami who wants to put a coal port in Oakland. In West Oakland specifically, which already has, you know, 97%, I think, of their residents already have asthma. So it would just worsen their air greatly. And then the last campaign that we have is the Green New Deal, and that's the one I've been working on. And the Green New Deal is exactly as it sounds. We're working to push and spread awareness about the Green New Deal resolution and pushing for us to take action on climate change.
Let's talk about what is planned for March 15th, this Friday. We are expecting thousands of kids, tens of thousands of kids in at least two dozen countries, 50 cities across the world, 30 U.S. states plan to skip school to protest to demand politicians take action on climate change. And the movement was inspired by Swedish teen activist Greta Thunberg, who has been on strike outside of the Swedish Parliament building every Friday since September. Tell us about how you're all organizing on Friday and what we can expect to happen.
Yeah, so on Friday we're going to be me and Youth vs. Apocalypse and a bunch of youth, some coming from Berkeley and from Oakland and from San Francisco, of course, are going to be meeting downtown at 10 a.m. in front of Nancy Pelosi's office. It's right next to Civic Center. And from there, we're going to have a few speeches. And then we're going to walk to Senator Feinstein's, and we're going to have, you know, hundreds of kids put post-it notes on her buildings with notes and messages about, you know, urging her to take action on this and urging her to vote yes on the Green New Deal. And then we're going to walk to Union Square, where we will have more performances and more speeches by youth and youth of color about you know, expressing the urgency and the importance of combating climate change, but also expressing how they have already suffered and how their families and their communities continue to suffer from pollution in the U.S.
Hannah Estrada is a fellow of the youth-led climate justice group Youth Versus Apocalypse. She is planning the youth climate strike. She's 15. She's a sophomore in the Bay Area. This Friday, tens of thousands of young people from around the globe will be striking to demand lawmakers take action on climate change. We're also joined today by Chrissy Kiefer, curator of Dance in Revolting Times. And Dance in Revolting Times this year is focusing on the theme Storm Surge and features artists exploring ideas and concerns surrounding global warming. Stella Edelman is co-director of Dance in Revolting Times. And if you are in the Bay Area, you can see the performance this Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m., 7 p.m. It's in San Francisco's Mission District. Chrissy and Stella, what's incredible is all of these young people, I've seen it kind of continue to increase year after year after year, and now they're going to strike on Friday. They're actually saying, we're not going to school to pressure politicians to take action on climate change.
What time is that?
What time is that, Hannah?
We're all going to be meeting at Nancy Pelosi's at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Great. Have you already been striking in her office? Hasn't a group been there? You've been there. How has that been going? Could you talk about that a little bit?
The first time we went to Senator Feinstein's, I actually didn't get the chance to go. I had school stuff I had to take care of, but it went viral. A video of it went viral because of how Senator Feinstein reacted.
Yeah.
And then we came back the following Monday for a press conference to talk more about the Green New Deal, and then to also talk about her version of the Green New Deal, which she had given us, and, you know, what was wrong with it and why we didn't like it and why we think that it wasn't enough. It wasn't radical enough, and it wasn't bold enough to combat climate change. And then we delivered her a letter that was written by a group of young kids called Earth Guardians. And she wasn't there, so a representative took the letter. But we got up there and we gave our speeches and we talked about why the Green New Deal was important and why it was kind of rude of her to not include a lot of the stuff that would help our country and help, you know, different communities in our country and her version of it.
Hannah, how has all of this shaped your opinion about how politics works? I mean, when you look at the video of Feinstein with the young people visiting her office, some as young as 10 years old, you had a pretty large group of people asking her to support the Green New Deal. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen this over and over again. But, you know, she said, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I'm trying to do the best I can, which was to write a responsible resolution. As a 16-year-old who's so involved now, how does this shape your views about politics and how it works?
It's kind of odd because it's not something I ever saw myself, you know, getting into or being this involved in. But it's weird to think that this, you know, political game, whatever people want to call it, is kind of what's, you know, deciding everything in our country. I'd like to think that we have a government that would actually do what's best for its citizens and what would benefit the most people. But, you know, for some reason, money, whatever it may be, we're not. It's very odd to see that our country is refusing to take a stance on this when this could devastate our country. It could devastate our infrastructure. It could devastate communities. It could devastate the entire world. And it's so odd and abnormal to me that we have a government that is refusing to listen to its people and people that are constantly saying, hey, like, this is what we want. This is what we want. This is what we want. And our government continuously just denying that and ignoring that. And it freaks me out a little bit.
How is your school reacting to your decision and others to strike on Friday?
You know what? For the most part, my school is pretty supportive. They haven't, you know, they're letting me put posters up, so they haven't, you know, told me that I can't, you know, talk about it. I mean, legally, most of the staff at my school are not allowed to condone it because of, you know, SFUSD policies. But for the most part, they are supportive and, you know, I think a little bit hopeful and inspired that, you know, we're trying to do something productive and we're trying to do something to benefit others.
And how can listeners support you?
You know, you can show up if you're an adult. You know, you can still come. We just ask that you, you know, like, don't talk to the press, or that you come and stand in solidarity with us. And we also ask that you call your representatives, and that you know who you're voting for, and you know who you're investing in and supporting. And yeah, just call your representatives, call your senators, and tell them that you want them to vote yes.
Stella, do you have any questions for Hannah?
Well, I'm just so grateful for this movement. You know, the adults have not been able to step up, and so for the young people to be doing this and saying, well, we're taking charge then, I just want to say thank you. You know, as someone, I don't have kids yet, but maybe one day. But real talk, like, I want to be able to have a place for them. So I'm so happy for this generation to be doing what you're doing. So thank you, Hannah.
Chrissy,
I just. For someone who's been kind of, you know, I actually ran against Pelosi to stop global warming in 2006. So it's just so great to see you all be so verbal and so articulate and so energetic and demanding. It's so important to really make demands, and it's not kind of, quote, pussyfoot around the way that Pelosi and Feinstein and the adults in the Bay Area do around this, but to, you know, call it out and call the question on where we're headed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hannah, what else are you all planning in the coming months? What are young people involved with these groups, the Youth Climate Strike and Youth Versus Apocalypse? What are you planning?
I mean, I personally would like to do an event about, you know, just having a little bit of resiliency and more of a uniting our community, like an art gallery of some sort. But in terms of actions, I definitely think that after this one, we're not going to stop. We haven't laid down any specifics yet, but probably, you know, the moment, like the second that, you know, Friday's action is over, we're definitely going to get into another meeting and start thinking about what we're going to do next.
Stella, final thoughts?
Well, just if you're looking for an art gallery, Dance yeah. Vision has walls, hit us up. We would love to support you anyway.
Thank you.
And Hannah, it would be great if you and some of your friends could go to the dance performance on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's focusing on climate change.
Yeah, you know what? I will definitely send them all a mass white email and invite them. I'm sure that would be really an amazing thing to go to as a group.
Especially after
yeah.
the strike.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. Totally great. The strike's on Friday. It would be,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We should talk. We should get your email. I'm sure Rose has it.
The connector.
Yeah, and there's also panels too, right? The March 17th, there's a panel discussion at 2:00, and then there at 3:30, there's a free workshop with Poder on climate change.
Yeah, and so the 2:00 panel discussion and mini performance is kind of looking at the role of the artist when it comes to what does it mean for art as political action, art as social action. What is the role of the artist specifically in this fight against climate change? And then the workshop after with Poder is more informational. Meeting, workshop, and also doing some work in the Secret Garden and the Mission.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Is there a question?
I wonder if you had anything else to add.
The only thing I have to add is just kind of, I'm talking to my people at this point is, you know, we have such an immediate culture at this point where if we have fast everything, fast information, mm-hmm. fast food, da-da. So when people talk about climate change is happening, it's going to get really bad by 2050, I think it really diminishes our ability to respond, and also that it actually is happening now. It's happening right now, today as we speak. And that people need to see, people need to take the blinders off and see that it's could affect you dramatically tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing that with people losing homes with the fires, with Hurricane Maria, how many people died. So,
yeah.
Is it okay if I add something really quick?
Please.
I would just like to add, you know, because definitely people aren't understanding how severe this situation is, and because they're not seeing it. But, you know, just to remind everyone, there are many communities in the United States and all over the world, but a lot in the United States of communities of color that already are living in polluted communities and already mm-hmm. have terrible access to air and don't have fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And these are already, like, stuff is already happening, and communities are already living in polluted circumstances. And so we still have to take care of those people, just, you know, to remind everyone.
It's such a great reminder, Hannah, and you just reminded me that I've been wanting to do a show about food justice in the coming weeks, so thank you for that. Hannah Estrada is a fellow of the youth-led climate justice group Youth Versus Apocalypse. She is currently planning the Youth Climate Strike. This Friday, young people from six continents will step out of school and strike to demand that politicians take action on climate change. Hannah is 15. She's a sophomore in the Bay Area. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we've also been talking today about Dance Brigade's Dirt Festival. Chrissy Kiefer is the Dirt Curator, founder and artistic director of Dance Brigade and Girl Brigade. And Stella Edelman is Dirt Curator. And you can see Dancing in Revolting Times this Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. and 7 p.m. Stella and Chrissy, thank you for coming in. And thank you for your amazing work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.